This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Paul's Eye Show brought to you by Archie's on Carson Street. Get down to Archie's, the official chicken wing of the Fan. Archie's, home of 80 Cent Wings, Monday through Thursday, home of the Paul's Ice Grilled Cheese Sandwich. And, of course, we can always, always, when you get down there, say hello to Archie. Let's see. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370, Edgar Snyder & Associates. Remind you to text responsibly. Well, we've been talking all football tonight, and again, I find it amazing if you think about it that there are people out there who wonder or question whether or not the Steelers should take a quarterback or this or that and the other thing. Really, they absolutely have to. they absolutely have to, if you ask me, really prioritize making the team better around the quarterback. You know, the quarterback spot to me right now, it can't be a priority. It just can't. I mean, that's just it's one of those things where there's a lot of other things that really, really, really are more important. And I think that when you talk about it that way, it's just important to remember that this is a thing to me where I think the Steelers have to take a look at offensive line, the defensive line, make some changes on the coaching staff, add to their linebacker room. You know, there's a lot of things that need to happen, if you ask me. A lot of things. And the quarterback, if one happens to fall into your lap that they actually like, that's different. But they shouldn't just reach for one just to reach for one. I think that's the wrong approach always. I think you go out and you get one if the guy is there that you want. But I don't know that the guy is going to be there that they want. And frankly, it sounds like a lot of teams are kind of lukewarm on these quarterbacks. Kind of lukewarm. Kind of in a situation where they sort of think that this guy or that guy might be able to, you know, be a good quarterback, but I don't know that any of them are in love with any of these quarterbacks that are currently there. So to me, you know, I know people are losing their minds because of the idea that, hey, Mason Rudolph is, you know, might be the quarterback next year. The one thing the Steelers need to do is get this, and Steelers fans need to do, is get this idea that somehow slopping together a team that can win 8 or 9 games is, you know, and get, or 9 games and get to the playoffs again, that's somehow meaningful. That there's some sort of streak that we need to keep going. It doesn't make sense to me. It never does. It never will. Whether or not you win 10, you know, have a winning season 8 years in a row, or you have one losing season snuck in there, but you also have a season where you you were able to advance in the playoffs. That, to me, is all that matters. And if you're not going to be closer to the playoffs, who cares if, you know, if you have a year where you go 6-10? It doesn't matter. If you go 6-10 or, you know, 8-9 or 9-10 or whatever, none of that matters. What matters is, are you getting closer to the Super Bowl? Are you getting closer to a point where you can actually contend, you know, for the Super Bowl annually even? That's what should matter. So, you know, the Steeler fans have to get this you know, insane, what I would call almost obsession with, well, you know, we pride ourselves on never having that really bad year. That's what I would say is really important. And I honestly think that that's the thing that is, you know, you have to, you know, understand there. You have to understand that it's, you know, it's an important thing to continue to build. And continue to try and get, you know, smarter and continue to try and get to a point where you have a chance to win again. So if Mason Rudolph's your guy and you go out and you get a couple of linemen and you get out and you do things, that's the thing I would say. Honestly. It's important to, you know, understand that. If Mason Rudolph is your guy and you rebuild your team and you end up 7-9, it's not the end of the world. Never has been the end of the world, even though, you know, Steeler fans don't want to hear that. Well, we're the Steelers. We never, ever are going to, you know, rebuild or whatever. That doesn't make sense to me. You know, I think, honestly, the last 3 years, they've wasted a lot of time trying to convince themselves that because they still had an aging Hall of Fame quarterback, they were still going to be a part of it. Even though it was pretty clear they weren't. And I think that, you know, it's always going to be interesting to me to see how you replace Ben, but I don't think that it's the most important discussion to have right now. I just don't. And it becomes a bad thing for people when we sit here and they're so obsessed with the quarterback position, they don't understand some of the other issues that really are facing this team. So I just feel like that is it's always going to be what people want to talk about between now and until, you know, it looks like it's pretty clear what we have with respect to the quarterback position. But to be honest, if you have Mason Rudolph for a year and you rebuild the team, even if you draft somebody even if you draft, you know, a rookie or whatever, you bring the rookie in, they could sit there forever. They could sit there for, you know, a year or whatever. And then, you know, if they're ready to go in and the team is ready to win, okay, then you can do that. Then you've had Mason Rudolph be the guy. Then you've had Mason Rudolph take, you know, all the lumps and the beating and everything for a year. And then you bring in a guy next year who's ready. That's the thing I would say. Who is the guy that you want behind the offensive line while you're rebuilding it? Do you want your rookie? How many times have we seen that where it just doesn't work out for the rookie? where they get so beat up and they get so broken down and everything else. I don't know. To me, Steeler fans need to get with the idea that next year might be a rebuilding year. Next year might not be a year where they have a quote-unquote winning record or whatever. It just it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to just try and slop together whatever it is that you want to try and slop together so that you can keep this, you know, ridiculous, this whole ridiculous thing where, well, we've never had a winning, we've never had a losing record under Mike Tomlin. Who cares? It just doesn't matter to me. Never has. It never will, actually. I just think that's the most overrated stat that we get thrown at us all the time. You know, you can figure out some other things, I'm sure. But, you know, Mason Rudolph, to me, you put together a good offensive line. You give them a good running game. You get a good defense. Maybe you can get to the playoffs playing like that. Maybe not. But it really shouldn't even matter that much, should it? Who cares? Next year is a rebuilding year. That's what people need to really understand. It's a rebuilding year. And it would be a rebuilding year, on most occasions. But again, the Steelers seem so obsessed with what they're trying to do. They seem so obsessed with this. You know, well, we never take a step back. We like to be involved and be in the mix. And, you know, if you get your foot in the door, you have a chance and all that other stuff. I mean, it's just none of it's realistic. Because they've been in the playoffs the last few years, and guess what? They've been in the playoffs the last few years, and they really haven't really realistically been involved in, you know, contending. They just haven't. And that's what that's the thing. They've sort of kidded themselves. They've kidded their fans. They've sort of lied to themselves in so many ways. So I just think that when it is all of this stuff that we have to talk about, I mean, you have to really, really, really understand that in order to move forward, in order to rebuild, you have to first accept the fact that, you know what, we are not very good. We're not in it. We are not in it or close to it. We're not. And we need to rebuild and reload, and if that means we have a season where we don't win as many games as we lose, who cares? It's not the end of the world. As I've said a million times, the Eagles 5 years from now, the Eagles, the last 5 years, the Eagles have had a 4-11 season, but guess what? It doesn't matter. They won a Super Bowl, and now they're 9-8, and they are pretty much, right now, they're 9-8, and they're pretty much in a better position than the Steelers are to win again. You know, and that's really what it comes down to in my mind. So they were 4-11. Who cares? They were able to reload and everything else and really put it back together. 412-928-9370 is the number. It's the Paul Zeiss Show. It's 93.7 The Fan. Insights, and he's got some pretty good sources. He's also somebody who's got a good relationship with the head coach. Anyway, he was on with the PM team and said a lot of different things today that I thought were really interesting about the Steelers offseason. So let's listen to a little bit what he had to say.
Mike, would that stun you if Art Rooney said, sorry, Mike, I'm telling you what to do, Matt Canada's one and done as offensive coordinator?
It wouldn't stun me at all. I think Art Rooney is a lot more involved in the management of the team than most people realize. He's not as open about it and as flamboyant about it as Jerry Jones would be, but I think that Art Rooney II is extremely involved and I think makes a lot of the decisions, whether it's the retirement of Bruce Arians from a decade ago, whether it's the hiring of Todd Haley, who came in to replace Arians. I think a lot of those decisions are either made or ultimately approved by or disapproved by Art Rooney. And, hey, that's the prerogative of being the owner of the team. You get to make those decisions if you want to.
Mike, we could base our opinion of him as a football man maybe on some of the moves you just talked about, but does he have the reputation as for being as football savvy as Dan Rooney did?
Well, look, the ultimate test is the pelts on the wall. However, the team continues to be extremely successful relative to all other teams. We don't see the Steelers have the same valleys that most franchises inevitably experience. They've been contenders for all these years. You know, to have three coaches since 1969, one of the reasons you're able to pull that off is the team's pretty damn good year in and year out. But at some point, yeah, Art II needs to get his own Super Bowl trophy that his team put together. And, you know, it's funny. The Maras are like this, too. It's kind of a low-key, much more involved than anyone realizes in the team. The opposite of Jerry Jones, but still very involved. It's the family business. It's not like it's some hobby like it is for Stephen Ross in Miami, who doesn't even live there and just barnstorms in for games. This is something that Art Rooney is working every single day, and it's the prerogative of the owner to do it. But, yeah, it would be nice for Art, and I'm sure he'd love to do it. I mean, he wants to win the Super Bowl every year, and I think when he says it, he means it. A lot of owners say it just because they know it sells tickets, and you have to say it. I think he means it, and once he gets his Super Bowl or two, then, yeah, it helps complete the set that the family's put together over the years.
Mike, would you almost expect it then? I mean, the offense was so putrid, and it did better when Roethlisberger went off script and kind of improvised. Do you almost anticipate that Rooney is going to tell Tomlin to get rid of Canada?
I think the challenge with evaluating the 2021 season is that the team was basically a Frankenstein monster of all sorts of different parts. And I don't know if you guys have talked about this, if you've heard this. I know from, you know, the grapevine that I'm kind of generally plugged into, they got thrown for a loop when Ben Roethlisberger agreed to come back at $4 million less than he was supposed to make. I think that they were hoping they were making him an offer that he wouldn't accept so they could move on. The fact that they made the playoffs is amazing under the circumstances. And I give Ben Roethlisberger and the coaching staff credit for recognizing that it's not 2011 anymore, that he can't run away from pressure the way they used to, that he had a much more limited window to get rid of the football. And he adapted because we saw what was happening earlier in the year when he would try to run away from pressure. It was like a Chevy Chase pratfall from the original days of SNL. It was not good. And they operated within that. That's one thing that I think Mike Tomlin is very underrated about, getting his team to color within the lines. Wherever the lines are, he figures out how to get his team to color within those lines, and that's what they did. But I don't think they expected to be in that situation. Now, I don't know who the quarterback would have been, and I think they're in a much better position this year if they want to be selective and coy and sit back and wait for a veteran to realize, hey, life could be pretty good for me as the quarterback of the Steelers. So, you know, anytime you get a new coordinator, you're starting from scratch, you're asking for trouble, you've got new terminology, you've got all kinds of things. And I think it makes sense to consider giving this current offense and this coordinator another year where maybe you get a quarterback who's better suited to run it. You have guys who are more comfortable with it come next year, and you ultimately have a quarterback who is more physically capable than Ben Roethlisberger was in the last year of his career.
Mike, if Art Rooney, though, to go back to this, because now what you said just opened my eyes a little bit, if you think that might have been a situation where they were making him an offer they hoped he'd refuse and they were thrown for a loop when he didn't, Roethlisberger, if Art Rooney does have maybe more sway than the public would otherwise think, why did he make him an offer he thought he would refuse in the first place? Just say we're cutting the cord here. That's it.
Well, because it becomes, I think, a political reality of running a football team in a city where there was a certain amount of affection for Ben Roethlisberger. And it's amazing how things changed from 2010 until now. I vividly recall listening to the shows in Pittsburgh at the time of the suspension and people calling in with every potential grievance they had about they ran into Ben Roethlisberger at the Subway store and he was rude to them or whatever.
Yep.
He really did a good job of securing redemption for himself. And I think at the end of the day, the idea of cutting the cord affirmatively on Ben Roethlisberger is something that that Art Rooney thought the fan base wouldn't take kindly to, especially because what would have happened? The entirety of his last year with the Steelers would have gone without the fans being able to go watch him play. So if nothing else, there was a sense, I believe, that there's got to be an opportunity for him to have that one last year where they can come watch the play. So we're not going to make him an insulting offer where it's clear that we're the ones who said go away. If he chooses to go away, fine. But we're not going to be the ones that make an offer that is so low there's no way he's going to accept it. Again, I don't know if that's true, but I do know that the people that I talk to, it's almost become kind of a given that they were hoping at a certain level that he would say, no, thank you. I'm just going to walk away.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Okay, Mike, where do you think their starting quarterback in 2022 comes from?
Well, the world has changed when it comes to veteran quarterbacks in the NFL. And it started 2 years ago with Tom Brady going to Tampa. And for a variety of reasons, we've seen movement of veteran quarterbacks like never before. It used to be if you had a veteran quarterback who was good enough to do the job, you never let go of him because there was no guarantee you were going to find anybody better. Now you see teams willing to cut the cord on a veteran in the hopes of finding someone better or someone different or whatever the case may be. There's a much greater willingness by the teams to look around, and there's a willingness by some of the veteran quarterbacks to try to force their way out of a situation. Tom Brady forces his way to free agency. Carson Wentz forces his way out of Philadelphia via trade. Both Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers tried last year to get out of their arrangements. So I think the Steelers are in a position where with the coaching, with the organization, with the fan base, with Najee Harris, with the receivers, now, yeah, the offensive line needs to get better. The defense is so good. I think that the best play is just kind of sit back and wait for the phone to ring and wait for the conversations to happen, those conversations that never occurred, five levels down, to start to gauge interest as to who wants to come play for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. You know, the video of Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin sharing glances when they played this year. If I'm a veteran quarterback and I'm looking for a better place to play, a place where I think I got a better chance to win, Pittsburgh's on my short list. And I think if the Steelers play it the right way, not only do they get somebody who's going to make them much better, but maybe they can do it under terms that are extremely favorable financially, because maybe you could get somebody to take less money so they could go out and upgrade along the offensive line, for example. So I think they're in a very good position. There's not going to be any clarity, at least for now. Step one is let's see who ends up coaching where and who the coordinators are where. But then once that quarterback carousel starts to spin, they could end up coming out of it with a major upgrade over their quarterback room in 2021.
Oh, that is music to my ears.
How major, Mike? Like, how major are we talking here, do you think? I know there's a lot of moving parts you just described, but Pony's ears just perked up, like his eyebrows might have disappeared.
Well, because Steelers media keeps...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Trying to tell us it's Mason Rudolph next year, Mike, and I'm almost having a heart attack over that.
I'll hit myself in the head with my own helmet if it's Mason Rudolph next year. I mean, my goodness. Have we not seen enough?
Yes.
What more do we need to see? All due respect to Mason Rudolph, and I know whenever you say that, it's too late to avoid the insult. Have we not seen enough to know that Mason Rudolph is not the guy around whom you build? He's not even the guy who should be your backup. My guess is they were hoping that Dwayne Haskins would show them enough this year that they could make him number two and make him the guy who would have been the guy to take over for Ben Roethlisberger if the explanation is, hey, this guy really was a first-round talent. It was just a dysfunctional, toxic mess for him in Washington, and he didn't get a chance to develop, but he didn't step up. It can't be Mason Rudolph. It can't. And look, hey, this is the time of year when the BS is on overdrive, and what happens is the team pushes to those who cover it. It's Mason Rudolph. For example, and I'm not saying this is happening, but I've been doing this 20-plus years now. You know, whether it's the Browns pushing to the media that Baker Mayfield's our guy next year, or the Eagles saying with a straight face, Jalen Hurts is our guy next year. You know, anybody who doesn't have a short list, high-end franchise quarterback is wise to consider their options. So to the extent that the Steelers can bait the hook on the notion that they're sticking with Mason Rudolph, that allows them to enter this process from a position of strength because they don't come off as desperate to find that upgrade that is going to thrust them even deeper into contention. And hey, if you watched garbage time of the game on Sunday night, and I'm sure that most Steelers fans probably had thrown a shoe at the TV by then, Chris Collinsworth was saying some stuff in the second half that sounded like he knows something more than what he was letting on about what's going to happen. I don't know whether that means Aaron Rodgers. I don't know whether that means Russell Wilson. I don't know if that means Deshaun Watson, for crying out loud. But I think that the Steelers are in a prime position to get one of these veteran quarterbacks looking for a better spot, because when you look around the league, where are the good spots? I don't think Aaron Rodgers should leave the NFC North. He can dominate that division for as long as he's able to play. Why would you leave there and jump to the AFC North or the AFC West? But still, when you start looking at the teams that are out there, there isn't a long list of places where you could start checking boxes and saying, you know what, I could do pretty well there. And I'd have the Steelers at or near the top of the list of the place where a veteran quarterback could come and really make some noise late in his career.
If Rodgers and Green Bay win the Super Bowl, do you think that patches things up enough that he stays, Mike?
Well, I've got all sorts of theories on Rodgers. I don't know if he was ever serious about leaving. I think that he is so... And it's amazing that he gravitated toward a competitive sport where half the people are going to hate you no matter what. He is so intent on not becoming a villain in Green Bay and not exiting the way that Brett Favre did. I can't imagine him ever cutting the cord with the fan base and with the locker room and with the coaching staff. And you know what? He made his point this year. Whatever he did, however he played it out, he got the attention of the front office. And I think they fully appreciate him right now. And I think he stays if they do the right thing and offer him a contract that pays him dramatically more than $33.5 million a year, which is exactly the same that Jared Goff is getting in Detroit. If they come to him early and they make him an offer that is obvious that they value him, that they appreciate him, that they want him to finish his career, that basically makes up for drafting Jordan Love and makes Jordan Love irrelevant, then I think he'll stay. And I do think a lot of what he does is calculated. He likes to mess with people. He likes to be the center of attention. And I think ultimately he does not want to be a villain in Green Bay.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, who, by the way, was the most popular man on this show last week because you picked the Steelers to win. And so many of our fans were like, hey, Mike Florio knows what he's talking about. The Steelers can actually pull this off. So, Mike, you're already in the good graces of our listeners. So why don't you tell them right now where they can get your new book that's out in a couple of months, Mike?
Well, let me say this. I was feeling pretty damn good, too. When T.J. Watt scored that touchdown,
yep.
I was feeling pretty good because that's how it was going to happen. I didn't consider that the Chiefs were going to find the gas pedal and just put it to the floor and score 42 points. Other than that, I really felt like I was onto something. Playmakers comes out March 15th to look at the last 20 years in the National Football League with a long list of essays, short, digestible chunks based on stories that have happened, things that have occurred over the past 20 years, that when you read about it and when we reflect on it, we learn something about how the NFL operates, where its flaws are, where its strengths are, and where its future lies. Comes out March 15, available for pre-order now, wherever you buy your books, online, wherever. You can pre-order it, and you'll have it in your mailbox on March 15.
And we are going to go to the Nemecolon hotline, talk to our good friend, Matt Milashevsky, numberbet.com. And we are going to get his opinion on the weekend, obviously, NFL games. And, Matt, no Steeler game to worry about this weekend, so we can take some of our emotional ties to the, you know, to being Pittsburghers and whatnot, and just sort of look at the game through the computer's eyes now.
Well, it's definitely much easier, and like you said, the emotion is removed, and you get to just kind of sit back and enjoy, especially when your team's out, and I'm prepared to do so. I think these are going to be four fantastically competitive games. We have, I think, the smallest combined spread of all four games in almost 30 years or so at this stage, and this is what we want as sports fans. We have what I think are the best teams all playing this weekend, and it's going to be wildly entertaining. I can't wait. Let's hit the 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Well, I think that's the big thing. We've got the games tomorrow, but first thing you usually do from wintheweekend.com and numberbet.com, first thing you usually do is take a look at all of the possible, you know, odds boosts and things of the such. Are there anything interesting for gamblers out there?
You know, I would have thought that by this point on Friday that the sites would kind of have more things out, but they really don't at this point. FanDuel essentially has just one little boost with Jamar Chase and A.J. Brown, which is okay. And DraftKings has nothing at this point. And, you know, those are pretty much the two major books in Pennsylvania that a lot of people use because they also are playing daily fantasy. But, you know, if you see something on a site and it's not out there, you can find me on Twitter at WinTheWeekend, and I will happily answer your question if it's good or bad. I know FoxBet has a couple out, but they're just pretty much money line parlays of the two favorites. And, you know, if you like the two favorites, you could do it, but they're barely boosts anyway. But at this point, nothing really stands out that I would say do for sure. But I know some of the sites are offering one of those same game parlays. If you bet $10 or $20 and you lose, they're going to give your money back. Always take advantage of something we're going to get reimbursed, and it's free. 100% you should be doing that everywhere you can find it.
I think that it's always, you know, interesting when we get to this part of the postseason where one team has actually gotten to sit out for a week and sort of rest up, and I'm talking about having the bye and whatnot. What are your thoughts on that? Do you take a look at that? Is that a factor for you, or how do you go about doing that?
Well, I think it really depends upon the team and situation. You want to talk about the first game tomorrow with Tennessee and Cincinnati, and obviously the Titans have been injured. They've been missing some people, and all of these key pieces are coming back. They are going to be there tomorrow. All of the reports and the whispers are that Derrick Henry is going to be a full go, 20-plus carries and be out there. And for them, being the one team having the bye is going to be fantastic. You know, Cincinnati lost their best run stuffer last week. They've had problems stopping the run all year. Now you have the Titans getting Derrick Henry back. Seems like a pretty bad recipe for disaster, and you know, it's going to matter, and I think it's going to matter a ton, especially for the team that everybody has forgotten about, the Tennessee Titans, and they are actually, my favorite wager of the weekend is the Titans -3.5 tomorrow in the early game.
Why is that?
I honestly believe that there is no way Cincinnati is going to be able to stop them from running the ball, and the Bengals have shown that their offensive line has struggled at times. The Titans' defensive line has been better than expected. They've been pretty strong at home, and you mentioned having a bye week. Mike Vrabel, 8-0, coming off a bye, 8-0 against the spread off of a bye as a head coach, and guess what?
They are coming off a bye. Cincinnati played a week ago. Everything lines up for me that you're going to see the Titans be able to run the ball with ease. But really, it's going to be the play-action game that's kind of going to be available for Tennessee. Obviously, the threat of Derrick Henry is going to change what they can do offensively. And all of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill is going to have people that are going to be a little bit even more open because those linebackers and safeties are going to have to hold because of the way we know Tennessee is going to want to run the ball. And they're going to be successful running the ball anyway.
It's interesting. You know, a lot of people seem to be right now in love with the Bengals because of their quarterback and everything else. But you seem to say that you think that maybe the Bengals aren't quite ready to take that next step.
Offensively, they are 100% ready. The problem is the other half of the ball. The defense is not quite there. Like I said, if it was a situation, and if you look at last week, the Raiders ran the ball pretty well, all things considered, but they did find themselves behind. Once you're behind, it becomes much more difficult to run. You know, this game script is going to line up very nicely for Tennessee. They should be able to get a lead early. They should be able to run the ball. And, you know, I'm banking on everything that I've heard, that Derrick Henry seems to be a full go and seems to be ready. And if that's the case, I absolutely love Tennessee tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could see why people would be saying that. I mean, obviously, it's an important distinction. Did your computer models or anything like anything different than what seems to be conventional wisdom?
You know, I will say that the biggest thing I thought from my computer model this weekend was it absolutely loves Buffalo, and that seems to be the consensus with a lot of professional groups out there and a lot of computer models out there. So Buffalo just grades out better than Kansas City. They kind of have for most of the year. But a lot of that, I think, is skewed because of how Buffalo closed the season and who they played. They didn't exactly play the strongest opponents kind of coming down the stretch there. But I knew going in, even if I adjusted some numbers, that Buffalo was still going to grade out well. It graded out very well. I have Buffalo should be a two-point favorite and said they're a two-point dog. You know, but of course, this isn't exactly going over a key number here on a spread that you're going to bet for that game. It's not like we're getting a team that should be getting four instead of getting seven. This is essentially just pick the winner. So that was probably the most surprising thing for me. I knew San Francisco was going to grade out well as well, and my model also liked San Francisco. But like I said, the biggest one was just Buffalo because I didn't think it would come that strong, but I kind of knew it was going to come strong. And I think the consensus is the Buffalo Kansas City game should pretty much be a pick.
Well, I think, you know, isn't it pretty much a pick? I think it's like two, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the whole point. It's like you're under pretty much most of the key numbers. Now, could we see a situation where a two-point conversion matters and a team ends up losing by one or two? Sure. But, you know, over the last 5 years or so, it's basically been, especially once you get to this round, is the spread almost doesn't matter. I know that seems insane for someone to say that's talking sports betting advice, but just pick the team you think is going to win. The likelihood that they're not going to cover seems to be pretty small. Even last week, the team that won was also good with the points. You know, it wasn't any situation where somebody won and didn't cover last week. And, of course, you know, you had a bunch of favorites come in, and then the dog just won outright. So I think that's going to be the consensus. I think that's pretty much what's going to happen this week. So if you like a team, you think they're going to win, you should be betting them on the spread. You can also take the money line as well. But, you know, these are a lot of tiny spreads. Like I said, smallest spreads you've seen in a long time at this round.
Right. I mean, you see a lot of really close spreads. The one thing I was going to ask you is, we've had mixed opinions on the idea of teasing. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, people will say you should never tease through zero, and a teaser only really has value in terms of expected value, and value you're going to add to your tease if you're going over key numbers. You know, if you're going to take a team that's a two-point dog and you do a six-point tease, that's great. You're taking them over three. You're taking them over seven. You're going to get them at a key number at eight. And you can also go the other direction, obviously, you know, with an 8 or 7 point favorite where you can just take them down to a pick. I have no problem with teasers. I think they do serve a purpose. I think there's situations and times where it would be great to do it. You know, obviously this week, if you wanted to bet a couple of these small dogs and you wanted to tease them up, I don't think there's anything wrong with that if that's what you like. Me, personally, I'm going to be on some favorites this weekend. I'm normally a dog bettor, but for this weekend, I kind of like the favorites. And, you know, one of the favorites, the other Saturday game, I'm going to kind of go out on my own here. I have a lot of friends, and I know a lot of sharp people are telling me San Francisco can win outright. I just don't see it. I believe that the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFC. I think they're going to come out of the NFC, and I think they're going to show everybody tomorrow night how their offense is kind of together and healthy. David Bakhtiari is back on that offensive line. Randall Cobb is back. It's probably the most full complement that the Packers have had since, I think it's week one, when they had some injuries on their offensive line. But everybody's healthy, everybody's back, and, you know, I gave you the Titans in game one, and I'm going to be on the Green Bay Packers, -5.5 in game two.
Okay, so you that's interesting. You like the Packers, because you're right. We had one of these picking gurus on earlier, and he liked the 49ers and said that he thought they could win outright.
That's pretty much been the consensus out of a lot of the sharps going around, is that they're on the Niners. They think they're running game, and the Packers have really struggled to stop the run. I get all that. And the numbers do grade out. Like I said, my model has it that the spread should be roughly 2. So obviously 5.5, it does kind of have some value. But, you know, at some point you have to break away from your model if you believe in what you think is going to happen. And when the numbers don't all add up, I think that doesn't kind of take into account that, you know, the Packers are going to have some of these key players that are going to be back, and they're going to be able to – I think they're going to be able to throw all over the Niners secondary. But, you know, it's going to be very cold, and we'll see how that bears out tomorrow evening. But, you know, this is where we are, and this is why it's gambling, and you can kind of plant your flag, and you can talk with your money, and you can talk with your mouth, and – you know, if I say it, I'm betting it, I have bet it, and I'm going to do it.
Right. I mean, I think that's the key. You know, it's if you say it and you go for it, then you can't look back. I just kind of find it interesting when I have, you know, a couple of different betting people on and how much different their thoughts are on some of these games.
Well, especially once you get to this deep in the playoffs, you're going to have different large-scale betting groups and you know, consortiums. They're going to come in on different sides of games. I mean, we saw it last Sunday where a ton of money came in on the Eagles late, and that line moved all the way down to a flat 7, and they were just wrong. And, you know, a lot of the pros were on New England last week, and I saw the game in the completely other direction. You know, I had Buffalo. Buffalo was the biggest bet I made last weekend. I absolutely love them. But it's going to happen as you have less and less games. There's only so many things you can argue and so many things that can kind of go on. And, you know, everybody's model is kind of different for what they like. And it's going to happen. You're going to have people on with different opinions, but that's what makes it so great. We all get to make our own choices, and we have the games kind of prove who's right. My favorite part of sports betting is in 3.5 hours, you're going to know if you were dumb or you were smart, at least for that game and during that time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, I think that's always the biggest thing. You look at some of the prop bets. It's tough in the playoff during playoff time to do prop bets, right? And just because the games are different and because of the weather or what?
Well, it depends upon the situation and what's going on. I did that one prop that, and I wrote up on my website, wintheweekends.com, that I gave out. And that was to take Josh Allen over rushing yards. I have him over 50.5. And again, you can shop this around. I saw some 50.5. I saw some 52, some 53s. This is why you should always have money on a bunch of books. But Josh Allen over 50.5 rushing yards for the Buffalo Bills. In playoff games, he's averaged over 60.6 yards pretty much for the most part. Whenever they played last year in this game, the game script went bad. Buffalo got behind. He still ran for 88 yards. He went over the number last week. And like I said, he has been running, especially in the playoffs when there's a lot more on the line. So the prop bet that I am on this weekend is Josh Allen over 50.5. But like I said, you definitely need to be shopping around and kind of looking, because I've seen it up to 54 in some spots. And maybe you're fortunate enough and you have money on a bunch of different books and you can find it at the best possible price.
Well, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, there's just a lot of different ways. Real quickly, do you have any good things with the NBA or college hoops this weekend?
You know, I'll tell you what, the NBA is completely wild right now. And you know, you just saw the Sixers lost as massive favorites of 24 points. The other night you had Golden State playing, I'm not kidding, the 8th through 15th players of the Pacers and lose outright at home. The NBA is wild. The NBA is pretty crazy. I would just say be careful out there. We will be running our NBA model on wintheweekends.com every single night and letting our computer kind of break it down for you, and we will do the same. So come on over and check us out. And lastly, before I go, I'm just going to go ahead and pick the last two games for you in the NFL. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay, provided the offensive line is healthy. I just can't take Matt Stafford on the road after 2 weeks ago when everybody's ready to throw another pick six and run out of town. And I know I might be out on my own in the last game of the weekend, but I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm going to lay the 2 points. The entire world likes Buffalo. The public likes Buffalo. Everybody's computer model likes Buffalo. A bunch of sharp players like Buffalo. It seems to be too many people are on Buffalo, and I get to take Patrick Mahomes at home, giving less than a field goal in the playoffs. His only two playoff losses are to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not against him, so I'm going to be sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I believe they have fixed all their problems from earlier in the year and the defense is ready. So that's kind of where I'm going for the weekend right now, Paul.
All right, before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find your stuff and all of your information.
You can come over to my website, wintheweekend.com, and, of course, you can find me on Twitter at wintheweekend. We have our NFL model. We have an NBA model running daily. We break down the odds boost every single day for NBA and NFL. And if you ever have any questions, please hit me up on Twitter. I'm more than happy to answer and help you make a smarter sport better so that together we can hopefully build the pile.
Thank you, Matt. We'll do it again soon. All right, that's Matt Milashevsky, obviously, wintheweekend.com, numberbet.com. Tour of Pittsburgh Magazine's 6 Ultimate House in Lawrenceville through January 30th. This luxury condominium project by E-Properties and Development features 3 fully furnished and stunning penthouse units in the heart of Lawrenceville. Tour proceeds benefit Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, UPMC. Free care fund. Details on the event page at 937thefan.com. Fair weather brought to you by Sud Chevrolet. Route 19 in the South Hills. Start your new year off with a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle and online at sunchevy.com. Tonight, have clear skies with very cold temperatures and a low near 0 degrees. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sun throughout the afternoon, high of 27 degrees.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.